We continue our story, the third section. When Antiochus heard that his governor Nicanor was killed, he was very upset. He summoned Bagris the wicked, who led people astray to paganism. So Antiochus said to Bagris, haven't you heard what the Jews have done to me? They killed my soldiers, vazut machnotai, they looted my camps, visarai, and my nobles. Are you confident that your money is safe, your houses are safe? We have to ascend upon them and sever that covenant they have with their God, Shabbat, Rosh Chodesh, and Milah. We have to ensure they stop keeping their Shabbos, their Rosh Chodesh, and circumcision. Now, when we look at this story, we could look at it in a broader sense. When the Jews rebelled 200 years later against the Roman Empire, they were trying to get the exact moment when other nations were rebelling against the Romans, and they figured if they time it right, then they'll get away with it. Then the Romans won't be able to allocate enough forces to put down the rebellion. They tried to time it at a time when the Roman Caesar died, and they timed it right as far as that. They tried to time it at a time when the leadership in Rome was weakened, and they were right in that as well. There was a great issue with the senators at the time. If you read Josephus, you see there was a great danger that the whole Roman Empire would crack up. And so the Romans had to figure that, is it worth allocating the forces and the time to deal with this nuisance of the Jewish people, this small little country? The flip side is that if the Romans would let go, that would encourage other countries to rebel. It wasn't our idea to rebel. Our people had heard that other cities had succeeded in rebelling against the Romans, and they figured, if we do it too, so we'll be successful. But the Roman calculation was the exact opposite. We have to quash this rebellion. We have to ensure that they don't succeed, to ensure that no one else wants to do the same. So when Antiochus says, how can you be confident in your money and your homes? It could be, in a broader sense, what Antiochus was saying is that if the Jews succeed in their rebellion, what's to stop other nations from rebelling too? And historians actually discuss that following our successful rebellion of Hanukkah, that was really a turning point where others started rebelling against the Greeks as well. So this was a real concern, the Greek concern that our rebellion would succeed. Now, one of the hallmarks of the Greek Empire was that they claimed unity. They claimed that everyone had fair representation and equality, and we're all one. So we were a thorn in their side, that we refused to conform. We maintained our religion. Everyone should be Greek. And from a Greek perspective, one can understand their claims. We're making laws that are uniform. We're treating everyone fairly. So be one of us. Why do you have to be different? And you see their insistence, we have to sever their bond with God. They have to be like us. Then Bagris the wicked and all his camps came to Jerusalem. I would point out one more point. Very often in the name of social equality, people can be most cruel. It is specifically when people have a philosophy that what they're doing is to the betterment of mankind, that they can allow themselves to be the cruelest, be it Stalin, be it the Nazis, be it the Greeks. If our goal is to be kind to everyone, then that legitimizes every form of atrocity, because our goals are pure.
The nicest people in the world, as long as you believe exactly as we do.
As Bagris, Hashem, Chol Machnotav, then Bagris, the wicked, and all his camps came to Jerusalem, ve'erog b'em herek rav. They killed masses. Vayigzor gzera gmura al Shabbat Rosh Chodesh u'Milah. And then they made an absolute decree. No one's allowed to keep Shabbos. No one's allowed to celebrate the Jewish month. No one's allowed to circumcise their kids. Uvayimim em kasher haya devar ha-melech nechpaz, matzu isha shamal et bno. In those days, they found the person who circumcised his son. Ve'evu ish v'ishto ve'itlu tam k'neged ha-yelet. They brought the father and mother and hung them opposite their son. He had a woman whose husband died, And then she gave birth to their son. She circumcised him, and she didn't think she'd get away with it. She went up on the wall of Jerusalem holding her baby in her hand. She called out to the people and said, I call out to you, Bagris the wicked. You think to annul from us the covenant that God has cut with us. We will not cease the covenant of our forefathers. Shabbat Rosh Chodesh Umilam Ibnevanenu Lo Yusar. Be it the Shabbos, the months, be it the circumcision, it will not be removed from our children. And then she committed suicide with her son. She knew she wasn't getting anywhere. Instead of having them torture her to death, so. Maybe. ורבים מבני ישראל, it's a good point, ורבים מבני ישראל אשר היו עושים כן בימים ההם ולא הפרו את ברית אבותם. There were many among Israel who did the same. They refused to annul their covenant. There's a famous story about a cave that they went in there to keep Shabbos in the cave, and the Greeks went to the entrance of the cave and they brought their soldiers there. You guys know the story.
How can you prove somebody's keeping Shabbat? Like a lot of it's passive.
Okay. They lit grass, they lit wet hay at the entrance to the cave and suffocated all the Jews to death inside that cave. There are many stories about Jews who bravely tried to keep the Shabbos and the circumcision, and many paid for it with their lives. We have today amongst us, there's Dr. Chechkis, who lives here in Jerusalem. In Russia, when it was forbidden to circumcise, he had a medical practice and he had a false wall in his practice. And behind the wall, he circumcised over 10,000 people. Risked his life day in and day out performing circumcisions. He's still around. He's probably the best moel that's alive today. I highly recommend him for adults. If anyone needs an adult circumcision, he's really, really good. Okay.